Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We give you the praise and the glory. We will exalt you. We do exalt you. We magnify your name. We bless your name, O Lord. We thank you, Lord God. You are in this place. You are with us. And we do exalt you. We do allow you to be Lord over us. We allow you to lead us. We allow you to have your place in our lives. We give you that place right now. We exalt you and lift you up with our praises and our worship. Lord God, we magnify your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just take a moment and thank him right now. Just worship him. Just take a moment. Just exalt him. Just go ahead and put your attention on him. Sometimes you got to block out some things. Sometimes you got to close your eyes. Sometimes you got to stop thinking about some other things. You just got to start thinking about God, how great he is, how big he is, how marvelous he is, how majestic he is, and begin to sing praises to him and begin to magnify his name and lift him up. Hallelujah. 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 We do thank you, Lord. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I found this out. You cannot exalt God and lift him up without you being lifted up with him. Because we're connected. He will raise you up, but you got to exalt him. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we just thank God that he's here in this place. We do give him absolute reign over this service tonight and believe that he'll have his way. Amen. Shake hands with some people and be seated. There's a specific thing that I'd like to share with you tonight. And so I just felt like the Lord impressed upon me to give a certain word concerning an individual in the Bible that we hardly ever look at. We read about him, especially this time of year, but since not much is written in the Bible about him, it's only about 30 verses, maybe less than 30 verses that mention him and what he did. And the name of that man is a man named Joseph. And now I'm not talking about Joseph who was in prison and ended up being the ruler over Egypt. I'm talking about Joseph, who was Mary's husband, who took care of Mary and the baby Jesus. And so I want to look at a couple of verses concerning him tonight, and I trust that this will minister to you as it has also ministered to me. And so especially during this Christmas time. How many of you know Christmas time is a time of things beyond the normal routine? It's a time of great expectations for most people, high hopes, anticipation of gifts and good times. And it's a time when children dream dreams about what they're going to get. And it's a time when men and women lift up their eyes in hope as they remember Jesus in the season. And it ought to be that way, because really, when you get down to it, this is the season when God's dream came to pass of Jesus coming, his son coming and redeeming mankind. God's dream came to pass, that of reconciling mankind. And so I like to look at it this way, that this is a Christmas season, but I like to say it this way, this is a season of dreams, the season of dreams. I encourage you tonight, as you listen to what I have to say, I'm going to talk about Joseph was a man of dreams. And as you listen tonight, I want you to be in tune with the Spirit of God as to what he might say to you. That's more important than what I say. But you know, you need to be encouraged. We all need to be encouraged about the dreams that God has for us. Amen. Dreams are a part of people's lives. It should be a part of your life. I'm not talking about maybe a literal dream, but you ought to have some dreams in your heart. You ought to have some dreams in your heart because, you see, your life really begins with dreams. And so it seems that as we look at this, Matthew chapter, we'll look at chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, and we'll read about this. It's talking about Joseph, and it says, "While Joseph thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" And so he goes on and talks about that and the significance of that. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, it says this, When the wise men had departed both, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." And we know this, that Joseph immediately obeyed and did what he was instructed to do. And so then he was there for a time. And then in chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, we see here, "Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead.'" And so we see that Joseph had a dream there. This was his third dream that's mentioned. And then in verse 22, when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, it says he, which is referring to Joseph, was afraid to go there. And then it says again, "And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee." And so we have about eight verses that I didn't read all of those eight verses, but about eight verses or nine verses, something like that, that speak of Joseph having a dream and what the angel said to him. And so eight out of the less than 30 verses talk about Joseph and his dream activity, which to me is significant. It's about a third, a little less than a third of the verses that speak of Joseph talks about him having dreams from God. And that to me is significant. Taking a look at his life, he was a man of dreams. He was a man that God could speak to. He was a man that God was able to communicate to, and it seemed that he communicated to Joseph at important times through literal dreams. Now, I'm not telling you tonight, and I'm not advocating a doctrine tonight, that God is going to speak to you in literal dreams at times in your life, but I do say this to you, that God will speak to every one of us about dreams that he has for us. Amen? And there's dreams that you ought to have in your heart. When you were a child growing up, how many of you had dreams about what you were going to do? I dreamed of being a cowboy. I dreamed of being an FBI agent. I dreamed of being a Major League Baseball player. And you know, I had dreams. I dreamed of having a car. I dreamed of a 1964 Chevy Supersport, metallic blue with white leather interior, and had a 327 under the hood with this high raised manifold intake, you know, and then had these headers, I forget now what the name of those, the popular name was back then that they had for headers. And then it had, it had glass back mufflers, and it kind of cackled a little bit when you slowed down and shifted gears and all of that, you know, and had the chrome Krager Super Sport mag wheels on it, and had 14-inch tires on the back. I saw all of it. I dreamed all of that. And you know, dreams have a way of coming to pass if they're significant enough in your life, if you hold on to them. Years later, I drove that kind of car. I owned that kind of car. I dreamed of this when I was a child, so I'm going to get one. Circumstances came about where I ended up having one of those cars. Now, it wasn't blue, but almost all the rest of it was exactly the way it was. I had seen it. And so, you know, I had dreams. And I can't say that any of those dreams were really given to me by God, but I had dreams. You had dreams. And so dreams are important in our lives because our lives begin with dreams. And so I remember another time when I was traveling on the road all the time, and I was doing about 130 meetings a year, just traveling all the time, and God began to speak to me about coming to work at Rhema. Well, I thought, now isn't that just the funniest thing you ever thought of? Pastor Hagin doesn't even know who I am. And I thought, you know, and I kind of blew it off, you know. And God really got after my case and told me I better be praying about that. And so I spent the whole summer praying in obedience to God and getting excited about it. And so there were times when it didn't look like anything was happening. Matter of fact, there were times when it looked like everything was going the other direction. I remember we lived in an old house that was so ugly we don't have any pictures of it at that time. And I can tell you, I would come home off the road, and I would pull into the driveway, and the demons would literally scream at me and says, "You'll never get away from here. You'll never get away from here." And I remember sitting in my vehicle, just sitting there, not getting out, and I'm yelling back at them. I will, in the name of Jesus, get out of here in Jesus' name. I will experience the dream. I will do what God says. I will. You will not hold me back in Jesus' name. You will get out of the way. You release your hold in Jesus' name. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Shut up in Jesus' name. I spoke that boldly. I didn't feel very bold, but I would get mad and I would get so upset when those demons dare to speak to me like that. A child of God with a dream. And so it looked like we would never get there. And we looked like we'd never do that. I had no clue how this was all going to work out. But I would take time. I would just go pray, and I would just hold on to the dream, and I would nurture the dream in my heart and in my mind of what God said. It's God's idea. It's not mine. I didn't come up with that plan. I'm being successful on the road, you know, and doing ministry that way, and God interrupted me, so to speak, and told me that this better be something on your agenda, and you need to be doing this. And I don't have time to tell you the rest of the story tonight, but I want to tell you something. Listen to me. If you have a dream in your heart, listen to me, my friend. I feel like God's just impressed upon me tonight to tell you, don't let go of your dream. I'm talking about especially if God put something on your heart. You may be like the guy that went down to the, wanted to go to the post office, and he come across this man that was, he was a drunk, and he's standing there, barely standing on, he's hanging on to a light pole, and he asked him, he said, "Which way is the post office?" And the drunk went, you can't get there that way. Then he said, "Well, I tell you what, you go down this way. You can't get there. Sir, you can't get there from here." How many of you have ever been to that place where you had a dream in your heart and it just seemed like you couldn't get there from where you were? And that's sometimes where we're at. But I want to tell you something. The enemy lies to us. Our minds don't see far enough. And our imagination isn't big enough to comprehend what God wants to do in our lives. And we barely know what God wants. He may speak something to us and we say, how in the world can that happen? I'm just this person and so, and I'm just here in this place, and I'm just, and we get all caught up in just, you know what I'm saying? I want to tell you something. Listen to me. Joseph could have said that too. I mean, Joseph had dreams. I'm sure not only did he have the dreams that were listed here, I'm sure he had dreams in his heart. I'm sure he had dreamed of getting married because he was engaged to Mary. I'm sure he dreamed of having a family. He had some kids. I'm sure he dreamed of having a successful career because he was a carpenter. And so, he's a human being just like a lot of us guys. You know, we got dreams. We got plans. And so here comes his girlfriend comes up pregnant, and he said, how did that happen? That upset his plans. And then the angel comes and scares the daylights out of him. Said, don't be afraid. Like Pastor said this morning. You know, and so here's the thing. Things are not going smoothly for Joseph right there. And just because you have, I learned this, just because you have a dream and just because God spoke something to you doesn't mean it's going to go smoothly. But I want to tell you something. The dream, keep the dream alive, because if you keep the dream bigger in your heart than the troubles around you, the troubles can't overtake you. Sooner or later, there's a way made for that dream to come to pass. Joseph must have had other dreams. I tell people all the time that when I was a little kid growing up, we didn't have a lot. And now looking back, I think we had a lot more than I realized. You know, we didn't have a lot of money, but we had a lot of other good things. But I got a hold of a Sears and Roebuck catalog. How many of you've never ever had a Sears and Roebuck catalog? Never saw one. How many of you never saw one? You have been deprived. You need to pray and ask God to get you over that, because that was a book. That was a catalog about this thick, like that. And it had everything under the sun in it almost. I'm telling you, you could get anything. I'd take that and I'd sit in the rocking chair and I'd look at everything that I wasn't supposed to have. And somebody asked me, he said, when did you decide to get away from what your upbringing and not be what your whole family was? And I said, when I looked at the Sears and Roebuck catalog, I said that's when I saw all this stuff. If they wanted me to stay where they were, they should have never let me see a Sears and Roebuck catalog. And if I didn't read every book, it was close. In the school library. I mean, I read these books and I could, you know, you read a book on baseball and you could see yourself there. How many of you know what I'm talking about, guys? You know what I'm saying? You read a book on race cars and you could see yourself driving. I could do that, you know? Well, you know, and so when we have dreams in our heart, what's even greater is when God drops a dream in our heart. Joseph's dreams revealed his God-given assignment in the earth, and that was to provide for the Christ child and his mother. That was his assignment, take care of them. Here's a question for you. Do you know what your God-given assignment is? Because you've got one. You've got at least one. You've got at least one God-given assignment to do. And listen to me. When there's things stirring on the inside, when you find yourself going down the road and your things got things stirring up on the inside, you wonder, where did that come from? Why am I thinking that way? And when you're trying to go to sleep at night and your thoughts go, you're not really trying to direct your thoughts, but your thoughts go towards over towards certain things. When you're working away and doing whatever you're doing and everything, but your mind is somewhere else, thinking about where you want to be, what you want to do, what it is that's stirring in your heart, what it is, and it just keeps coming up and keeps coming up. Listen to me, my friend. Those are little previews of your assignments that God's trying to get you ready for. God, at the very least, those are things that God wants you to experience so that you can be ready, prepared to do what God tells you to do. I'm telling you, God's got an assignment for us. Each one of us. You're important in the kingdom of God. You're important in the kingdom of God. Tell somebody you're important. And so what you constantly dream about shows your God-given assignment and what you're capable of doing with God's help. Amen. I remember years ago, 1970, somewhere around 77, somewhere in there, I'm in Decatur, Illinois, at a Full Gospel Businessmen's Convention, and there was a preacher there that preached that night. And he preached. And the words flowed out of him like a river. And they were just impacting, powerful. Just flowed out. Just seemed like effortlessly. And I remember that struck something in me. And I remember walking out and I told my buddies that I'd come with. I had two buddies that I'd gone with. And I said, if I ever am called to be a preacher, I want to be like that. I want to be like a preacher like that. I don't know if I'm there yet today, but I can tell you this. I didn't listen to my buddies who I thought were really behind me, who tried to tell me immediately, well, only people that are called can preach. And the tone of voice suggested strongly they didn't think that I was called to preach. How about that for buddies? And I just cast it aside. I said, I don't care what they say. How many of you've had some people come to you and tell you some stuff and you had to make up your mind? I don't care what they said. Doesn't mean were ugly with them or mean with them or anything, but just in your heart, you had to decide, I don't really matter what they said. Doesn't really matter what they said. You see, here's what I know. There is a place for your dream to come to pass. There is a season for your dream to come to pass. And there is people waiting for your dream to come to pass because if it's from God, it will bless humanity. It will bless humanity. It will cause God's power to be released. It will cause God's goodness to be seen. It will cause God's provision to come to God, to come to people. It will bring forth the mercy and the grace of God. It will show forth the love of God and the faithfulness of God. It'll cause blessing after blessing to fall upon humanity and cause people to be raised up and miracles to happen and cause people to step into divine assignments that they never could have unless it would have been released because of what you did. Listen to me. God's got something for you. I'm not trying to spiritualize everything tonight. I'm just telling you tonight, somebody here specifically really needs to hear this. Needs to hear this. And I don't know how to say it any other way, but listen to this. If God is speaking to you about that, all I can hear is the Spirit of God saying this: you better get after it. You better get after it. You better get serious about it. Too many people, they got God's business on a shelf somewhere, or they got it in the back seat, or they got it, you know, in a drawer someplace. You know what I'm saying? They got it wrote down and it's in that Bible they hadn't looked at in 6 months. Too many people like that. They're not holding it before the Lord in prayer. They're not, listen to me, I'm here tonight not because of my ideas, but because God gave me a dream and I took that and I began to pray. And I began to hold on to that. I began to believe God. I began to press into God. I called on God when I had an unction to do so. I called on God because I decided to do so. I called on God when I didn't feel anything. But I called on God because I wanted, my greatest fear was that I would not end up being where God wanted me to be. And I want to tell you something. There are people that God has for you to meet. There are things that you need to get, not because you need them, but because somebody else needs them, and you need to be the pipeline. You need to be the vessel that God can use. Somebody's got to believe God for the finances. Somebody's got to believe God for the resources. Somebody's got to believe God to be the vessel. Amen. To bless humanity. God works through people. It starts with a dream. It starts with some plans that formulate on the inside, and it keeps growing as you pay attention to it. And so there is a place for your dreams to come to pass, a season for your dreams to burst into reality, and a people that are waiting for your dream to bless humanity. So what does that mean then? Well, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to give you three words tonight. One is this: discern. What do I mean by that? Well, let me just tell you this. Not all dreams are from the Lord. And so you need to discern what dreams are from the Lord and which ones are just yours. What dreams came about because you ate something too late in the night, in the evening, and you were trying to sleep and it kind of affected you. You know? Discern between the Lord's dreams, any warnings that the Lord might give you, and any dreams you might have because you've been watching too many scary movies or something. You know what I'm saying? Not every dream comes from God. And that's why sometimes you got to take some time and pray it out. Because listen to me, there is this fine line between your dreams and God's dreams. And I'm going to tell you, take some time to separate that out. I'll tell you the truth about it. I've spent time praying it out. And then I find out that sometimes it is God's dream, but I don't have the right motives for it. So I got to pray that out. How many of you know that's important? To be doing the right things for the right reasons, you know? And so you got to pray until yourself is out of the way, until God is the one that you desire to see exalted, and that humanity is who you want to see blessed, and you're the vessel and really not important in your own eyes. We all know this, the passing of a great giant. Reinhard Bonnke went to be with the Lord this past week, and what a blessing he was to humanity. Blessed. Somebody said, what was it? 78, 79 million people that he was led to the Lord. I read 78, and then I read another report, 79 million, something like that. Do you know what I'm saying? And he dreamed big. He followed God's dream to do. He blessed humanity. I want to tell you, God, listen to me. God help us not to look at Reinhard Bonnke as some kind of special elite person that few people would be like that. I want to tell you something. Listen to me. If you're equipped with the dream that God has for you, and you pray it out, and you begin to follow God in the seasons different seasons that God would lead you through to get you prepared for that, listen to me, you can be a blessing to humanity too. You might not win 79 million, but you might, but listen to me, you need to win everyone you can. Amen. You say, well, I don't know that I'm a soul winner. But you need to figure out some way to let God use you to be a blessing to humanity, some way. God wants to use you. God wants to use you. Don't sit and think that God wants to use everybody else and you have nothing to offer, because God created you. And I like what one man said, you don't decide your assignment, you discover your assignment, because God decides your assignments. Isn't that right? I just want you to know. Listen, discern. Discern. Here's what Wayne Cadero said. God has a dream for each person, but that dream comes unassembled. In other words, that means it's not easily recognized right away. You know, how many of you know when the puzzle is unassembled, you don't really realize the picture that it represents. You can't see the beauty of it. You don't realize the significance of the picture or the different things that are in it. And you can't enjoy it like when it's unassembled. But listen to me, when you spend time with it, when you spend time before the Lord, and finally you discern, this is the dream that God has for me. It is actually from the Lord. It is something that God has spoken. Listen to me. Discern the dreams that are from God for your life. Number two, decide to pursue those dreams at all costs. What does that mean? Well, Les Brown said this. He said this, too many of us are not living our dreams because we're living our fears. Too many people are not living their dreams because they're living their fears. Friend, listen to me. Listen to me. Yes, it might look it might be a big risk. Looks like a risk to step out and share Jesus with somebody that you don't know. But on the other hand, what's the worst that could happen? That they say no? Or I'm not interested? That's the worst, isn't it? So here's the thing. What does it hurt to step out and share Jesus with somebody? It doesn't hurt anything. Listen to me. How many times have you, don't answer this, how many times have you gone home and regretted keeping your mouth shut, and when you had an opportunity, it was there, but you didn't do it? Listen to me, my friend. Pray and get a hold of this. Ask God, next time, bring me around again to a moment. I will speak. Just start declaring, I will be used of the Lord. I will yield myself to you, Lord. I will be the blessing to humanity that God wants me to be. Decide to pursue those dreams at all costs. C.S. Lewis said this, you are never too old to set another goal or to dream a new dream. Listen to me, my friend. Listen to me. The God's dream is not like the American dream, where we work our job until we retire and then we dream of doing whatever we want to do. Friend, listen to me. God, you listen to me. About the time that you reach retirement age may be the time when God can really use you. What Brother Summerall said at 70 years old, he said the Lord told him that he had gotten to the place at 70 years old when he could trust Brother Sumrall. He said that's what the Lord told him at 70. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me, my friend. Can God trust you to be the person that God with the dream? Can he entrust you with the dream? Can he entrust you to bring to walk in the dream, to pursue it until that dream comes to pass? Listen, my friend, don't settle for sitting on the couch and clicking the remote when you're 70 years old. All right, all right. But you young people, listen to me. Get after it now. Get after it now. Whatever season it is, it may be a season of learning, but get after it. Why? Because God's getting you ready for something. God's got something in mind for you. He's raising you up for such a time as this. This hour, in this hour, God needs you to be active in His kingdom. God needs you to be the vessel that He can use to bless humanity. Number three, determine determined to experience the reality of your dreams. It takes some tenacity. It takes some standing your ground. It takes some warfare. It takes some patience. It takes being willing to spend time being becoming the person that God wants you to be, the vessel that God can use. Moses, he was 40 years that he was a mighty in power in the ways of Egypt, and then he spent 40 years taking care of sheep. And in all that time, he was being tempered. He was being developed. He was being moved in a certain direction without even his realizing, until one day at the burning bush, God spoke to him and said, I want to send you back to Pharaoh. I want to use you to deliver Israel out of captivity and take them to the promised land. You are the vessel that I have for that. This is your assignment. Listen to me. What's God's getting you ready for? You say, well, I don't know. But listen to me. You discern the seasons that you're in. What season are you in? Even if you're in a season of adversity, listen to me. God can turn it around for good. And God, even in the middle of adversity, listen to me, I'm speaking to somebody. You need to quit being so upset about the adversity you're going through and start rejoicing that the strength of God is yours, and that when you come out on the other side of this, you're going to be much stronger than you've ever been. And the next time anything comes around, you'll be in much better shape than you were when that came around. Listen to me, my friend. God is developing your spiritual muscles so that you can do a knockout punch on the devil and just step on him and move on in the will of God and be the person that God can use to bless humanity. Listen to me. Hold fast to your dreams, Langston Hughes said. He said, for if dreams die, life is a broken-winged bird that cannot fly. You ever see a bird that has a broken wing that can't fly? Life without a dream is like that. I want you to realize, listen to me, my friend, what dream does God have stirring in your heart? Doesn't mean you jump ship out of what you're doing right now, because you're probably in a season getting prepared, in a season, going through a season towards what's in the dreams that are in your heart. But I want to tell you something. Listen to me. If the dreams are there, if you wake up at night and you got thoughts on your mind, I want to tell you something. Listen to me. Don't discount those dreams. Don't throw them away as something that you thought up. Hold them up before the Lord. Lord, what are you saying? Lord, what are you saying? Lord, what are you saying? When you have done this, I talked to you about discerning the dream. I talked to you about deciding to pursue the dream. I talked to you about determining to hold on to the dream. Now, there's one more thing, but it's not a D. It's not a D. You know, those three words were all D words, you know. Well, this one's not. Here's the word. Here it is. Here's the fourth thing you need to do. Put foundations under the dreams. In other words, start lining up your actions in the direction of your dreams. In other words, if you're preparing, if you're going through a learning stage, listen to me, let it be directed. Get yourself learn about the things that you're supposed to be learning about, because it'll help you be the person when it's time for the dream, you'll be able to do it. You'll know what you need to know. You'll have the wisdom that you need. You'll have the knowledge you need. You have the understanding to walk in it. Harriet Tubman, I guess the movie's come out. Harriet, is that right? And how many of you have seen that movie? It's a great movie, awesome movie. Well, listen to me. For those of you that are not familiar with Harriet Tubman, it's a movie about an African-American slave who was back in 1840s, and she was a slave, and she escaped. And she escaped back in 1849, September of 1849. And she grew concerned about other slaves, and she set up a number of journeys that she took in all, she took over 13 times that she went back into slave states and took out over 70 people and helped them to escape. And here I said all of that to tell you I firmly believe the movie is probably worth watching. One of our great people, heroes in our history. But here's what she said. See, I want to tell you about her because sometimes when people go through great things, the words they speak mean a lot more. She said this, every great dream begins with a dreamer. Always remember, you have within you the strength, the patience, and the passion to reach for the stars to change your world. You are the person God wants to use to change your world. If you're not happy about your world, then find out what assignment God wants you to have to change your world. God has a dream for you. God has a dream for you. God has an assignment. And I want to tell you, I am determined. I have discerned. I have decided. I have determined that I am going to pursue the dreams that God has. I'm here today because I pursued dreams, the dream of God. And I want to tell you tonight, it's entirely possible for you to do something impossible with the dreams of God. Would you stand up, please? Let's lift our hands up to the Lord. Let's magnify His name. Just worship Him right for a few moments. Just thank Him right now. I'm not attempting to preach you out of where you are and cause you to rise up with some kind of stars of grandeur of some kind. Because I can tell you this, there's no grandeur in pursuing the dreams of God. You may experience the glory of God. But I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something. Listen to me. There may be hardships. There may be some things to endure. There may be some times when it looks like you're going the other way. But I want to tell you something. Listen to me. God is looking for a people that would lift their hearts and hands to Him and would just commit themselves to the dreams that God has given to them and say, I'm not going to let go until I'm walking in it. I'm not going to let go of it till I see it come to pass. I've got it in my heart and I want to see it come to pass in my life. I want to be able to bless humanity like the Lord has described in my heart. In the name of Jesus right now, I pray for people all over this auditorium with hands lifted up. Lord God, that You would move mightily in their lives, strengthen them, enable them, move upon them in a mighty way. Refresh the dream in their heart, Lord God. Bring it to their minds afresh and anew. Help them to see what they could not see. Help them to realize that they're the vessel that You can use. That they see themselves as somebody bought and paid for, somebody that is not their own, somebody that is a vessel, a temple that You would use to bless humanity, through whom You would move and through whom Your power would flow, and that You would be able to move in mighty ways in their lives and through their lives. And oh, I thank You, Father God, that as they yield themselves and we step into that flow, Father, we thank You that, Father, that the blessing, Your blessings would flow through them tremendously. And even those blessings that flow through them to other people, yet even some of that will be upon their lives as well. We thank You, Father God, that You take good care of Your vessels, that You watch over Your vessels, You help Your vessels. Father God, the people that You use, Father. Father, we pray for these people that are in seasons of preparation, seasons of learning, seasons of adversity, seasons where seemingly they're insignificant. Nobody knows them. Nobody knows their name. Nobody expects much out of them. They seem to be in a season of being unknown. But Father, I pray, Father, for these people, that Father God, that you would help them to grab hold of the dream, hold on to the dream. And Father God, in the time of adversity, they would not get discouraged. But Father God, that you would help them strengthen their hearts and help them to hold on to that which you've spoken to them, that they may be able to complete the race that you have given to them, to experience the dreams that you have given to them. We give you the glory and the praise. Father, we thank you now. Bless your people now. These who have heard your word, these who have committed themselves to you, these who are your people, these who have lifted their hands and hearts and said, use me, Lord. Lord, I thank you now. Help them, Lord. Help them to learn what they need to know. Connect them with the people they need to be connected with. Open up doors of opportunity for them that they may be able to be in the right place at the right time. Help them, Father God, to sort out the motives that are in their hearts, that they may be able to serve you out of a pure heart. Not out of selfish motives, but out of a pure heart, that humanity would be blessed and you would be glorified. We give you the praise and the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I trust you got something out of this tonight. I trust that you were able to grab hold of something. I trust that I was able to communicate something to you that I felt in my heart. And so I just want to tell you, don't quit. Hold on to the dream. Keep it in front of you. You may not know how you're going to get there, and it may seem impossible, but listen to me. I'm going to tell it to you the way that God has told me. That's no excuse for not pursuing it. God will make a way. 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 Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to rejoice in the Lord. Somebody ought to rejoice in the Lord. The Lord is working. The Lord is working. The Lord is helping us. The Lord is with us. The Lord is strengthening us. The Lord is empowering us. The Lord is guiding us. The Lord is ordering our steps. The Lord is making connections for us. The Lord is opening doors of opportunity. The Lord helps us over the adversity. The Lord is helping us to learn. The Lord is helping us to comprehend. The Lord is enabling us to see. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you and magnify you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I encourage you to do so. Those people that are coming now, they're going to be down here, the men over here and the ladies over here. Listen to me. Ladies, if you need to know, you don't know the Lord and you need to know the Lord, and you come ask these ladies, I need to know the Lord, and they'll pray with you. Guys, if you don't know the Lord, come down and ask these guys, tell these guys, I don't know the Lord, and they'll help you to know to come into a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have prayer needs of any kind, I want you to come. I want you to come to these people. They'll pray with you. I asked the Lord, do you want me to pray for people? The Lord just said, let the word be sufficient. Let the word be sufficient. I want you to remember this word. Let this word resound in your ears and in your heart. Amen. Amen. It's not important what I said. It's what the Lord is speaking to you. It's what the Lord is speaking to you. Amen. Let's lift our hands one more time and thank the Lord. Give the glory to God. We give God the glory and magnify his name. Hallelujah. That his will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Don't forget all the announcements. Connection team, go find those first-time guests and take them to get that gift that is prepared for them. Let's give our guests a great big hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 We're glad that you're here tonight. We thank God that you're here. If you come back, you can hear Pastor Hagin. And he'll be here, planning to be here Wednesday night, Hour of Power. And look forward next Sunday, the Christmas musical. And so don't forget all of that. Invite somebody if you can. God bless you.